Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August the 9th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to be my reactions, the recap of the Dolphins' first preseason matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. I do cover the rest of the NFL that will be featured in tomorrow's episode as I go over some of the other guys' news, like Daniel Jones's first debut, Kyler Murray's first game. Everyone was excited with Baker Mayfield as well. That's all going to be covered in tomorrow's episode, as well as the other games that will be taking place. But for this one, this is going to be focused on the Dolphins and the Falcons matchup, because I do want to go a little bit more in depth and give my Dolphin fans, since this is a Dolphins-focused podcast, a little bit extra. But like I said, I will be covering the rest of the NFL in tomorrow's episode. But as we dive into this, the first thing that must be said, it was really kind of hard to gauge a lot of this game and evaluate it, because the Falcons are a team that are loaded with talent, and they don't want to put a lot of that talent out there in the first, well, I guess their second preseason game. So a lot of guys weren't playing for them on the offensive side of the ball. Matt Ryan wasn't going to touch the field. Julio Jones wasn't going to touch the field. Mohamed Sanu, Devontae Freeman, Calvin Ridley. This made it very hard to evaluate the defensive side of the ball. And I guess the same could be said about the offense, because you had guys like Desmond Trufant weren't playing. Deion Jones wasn't playing for the Falcons. Grady Jarrett wasn't playing. These are all very impactful players. So it made it very hard to evaluate, considering that the Dolphins had a lot of first team guys going up against a lot of backups. And that was more so their defense was going up against a lot of backups for the Atlanta Falcons. But in the Dolphins' defense, there were a lot of Dolphin guys that didn't play in this game, like Rashad Jones wasn't playing, Raekwon McMillan wasn't playing, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Kiko Alonso. There was just a ton, Laremy Tunsil, a ton of guys that were also not playing for the Miami Dolphins in this game. So take that with a grain of salt with what happens in this game. So the first thing we have, we're going to start on the offensive side of the ball and then cover the defense in the second half. But first, we start off on the offensive side of the ball with Ryan Fitzpatrick. How did he do? He came out as a Dolphins starter for this game. And frankly, I was expecting a little bit larger of a sample size to kind of work with, and that is not what we got when it came to Ryan Fitzpatrick. He ended up finishing the game 2 for 5 for 20 yards, and you know, you can't really judge much off that, and especially when you consider that the Dolphins' offensive line in this game was extremely poor, and that's going to hurt a lot of the evaluations across the board for the Dolphins. The offensive line was really struggling to set the edge. The whole, like, outside of the pocket was just completely collapsing on Ryan Fitzpatrick instantly. So it was really hard to kind of gauge. He was really just working with what was available to him. Now, with his limited sample size, it was kind of hard to pick, you know, which plays really stood out. But the ones that did, he had a nice little rollout and pass to Devontae Parker, really finding a way to avoid pressure but keep his head downfield. I would say that's a little bit more lively, more organic than stuff we saw with Ryan Tannehill. With Tannehill, it seemed like things had to be planned more strategically, and when things started to break down, it just didn't work out for him. Whereas Ryan Fitzpatrick really turned that play around and made something out of nothing, kind of. And then another play, he just scrambled for a nice little gain, put his head down. I think he got like 7 or so yards. So a very limited sample size, definitely doesn't necessarily hurt his stock in any way, but definitely doesn't boost it much either. There was like a little bit of excitement there, I guess, but it's not really much to gauge, like I said, with that small sample size. Bad plays. He did miss a pass to Mike Gesicki. Gesicki made a nice little move and actually got a lot of separation, which I was really glad to see, but Ryan Fitzpatrick just missed the mark on that one. So that's basically how his day ended up going. Poor offensive line, and just really wasn't really out there for too much to gauge. Now, sticking with the first team, we saw Kenyon Drake really take the role as a running back from the start, and he looked really good. He looked fast. He looked elusive as ever. His agility was still the exact same Kenyon Drake that we saw last year. You know, the same one that we said, hey, maybe this guy should be getting more carries. He just further proved that. Like I said, the offensive line was rather poor, so there was a few plays where he was just getting hit the second that he touched the ball, and there was nothing he could do there. But then there were other plays where he just completely made the play out of nothing. So I was someone that I was concerned last year with his ball carrier vision. I thought there were sometimes that he would kind of miss a hole and he would try to do too much, But honestly, that home run threat is just too much to pass up on. I would rather have that, the potential for a huge play on the field. So I'm all on board for Kenyon Drake being the lead back in this offense. Now, sticking with the running backs, we saw Kalen Ballage, who was also listed as the primary back for this team when the depth chart was released. Now, Kalen Ballage was just pretty solid. I wouldn't say that he did anything to kind of improve his stock and to cement him as this super sleeper and someone who's going to overthrow Kenyon Drake. I don't think he really did that, but he's just a consistent back, and I think he really proved that. He finished the day 6 carries for 23 yards, and he did have a touchdown. So from a fantasy perspective, if you're thinking Kenyon Drake or versus Kalen Ballage, it may end up being the fact that Kalen Ballage ends up being the goal line back. So the guy who kind of vultures a lot of these touchdowns away from Kenyon Drake. But, you know, I know you don't care if you're just watching for the Dolphins, but if you're watching for fantasy, that's something that could greatly impact Kenyon Drake's value. Now, we move on to the Devontae Parker, since he was the true only first team wide receiver on the field. And, you know, he was there, I guess. You know, he didn't really do too much. He had one catch for 14 yards. It was that catch by Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then his day was basically over. And then Mike Gesicki had one catch for 6 yards, but like I said, he did get some good separation. His speed looked drastically different, and I would hope to see him utilize more down the field, but there was just not much to kind of base off of for him either. Now we turn to the next quarterback in the competition, and that is Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen took the field. He ended up being the quarterback with the most play in this game. He ended up finishing the day 13 for 20, 191 yards, no touchdown, and this one really bad interception that I'm going to get into right now. So initially, I was really scared. If you were watching the game, you know, you saw a kind of demoralizing effort by the offensive line that really held back Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then Josh Rosen takes the field and not much change. The offensive line was so bad that it was almost Tannehill-esque, that you felt bad for this guy. Like, it was criminal to send him out there with his offensive line. The guy had absolutely no time. And then eventually he made this one really poor read where he had two guys running hooks on both sides of the field. Both of them were open, and instead he chose to, for some reason, throw to the guy in double coverage in the center of the field. It was picked off by the Falcons and almost returned for a pick six. I believe it was stopped at the 3-yard line. So that was absolutely demoralizing. You see Josh Rosen getting beat up. The offensive line isn't helping him. He throws this really bad pick. And then in comes Preston Williams. And Preston Williams, my God, this guy took over the game. And that is really hard to do in a preseason game where you're likely not going to be on the field for the duration of the game. But he took over this game for the Miami Dolphins and really helped Josh Rosen's performance. So once Josh Rosen realized, hey, this guy Preston Williams is kind of unstoppable right now, it started off with this insane pass that Josh Rosen should have never made in the first place. Josh Rosen was about to get sacked, a play that typically gets picked off, so this is not a good thing at all that I'm saying. But Preston Williams dove out for it. You know, Josh Rosen just kind of chucked it up there. Preston Williams somehow made a play and came down with a nice catch. And then later on in the day, Josh Rosen takes a shot down the field. Preston Williams, with one hand while being dragged down, comes down with the catch. And it's not done there yet. Preston Williams on the left side of the field, a nice little toe tap catch. The refs originally said it was out of bounds. After further review, it was a catch. And then another one, Preston Williams, they just chuck it up to him. The guy absolutely mosses his defender. Really looked like Dez Bryant. I put a little GIF side by side on my Twitter if you want to check it out. Preston Williams right now, if I had to compare him to a pro, it would be Dez Bryant, which is absolutely a great comparison. That is a huge compliment if you're looking at what Dez Bryant in his prime was able to accomplish. So Preston Williams took over this game, 4 catches for 97 yards. He was really showing all these traits that we kind of wish Devontae Parker would have been able to do. Now, I will say, again, this was not against Desmond Trufant, the number one cornerback for the Falcons. This was against a backup, so I will limit my optimism and, you know, really wait to see what he can do when he gets the opportunity, which I think he will against some first-teamers in the future preseason games. But you cannot help but be excited about that. I said all he needed to do was have a solid game to cement his status on this roster. Well, he did more than that. He blew this game out of the water. I think the question is now, is he a first-team guy? And this could lead to some other questions that I'll be asking towards the end of the episode, just as we begin to wrap it up. So Preston Williams, by far the player of the game, 97 yards on 4 catches, and they were all absolutely just tremendous catches. None of these catches were average. They were all highlight reel plays. Now, as I begin to calm down, we move on to some other guys that were on the field while Josh Rosen was out there, and that is Mark Walton, the running back. He played for Cincinnati last year, kind of fighting for his spot there. It's a little up in the air. He had some off-the-field issues. He is a Florida native, so you know how the Dolphins like to snatch up guys from Florida. Went to the University of Miami. He had a pretty solid game, nothing that would excite me too much. He had 6 carries for 12 yards, but he did have this nice little scamper towards the end zone, which was, you know, any running back that you put in that situation should be making those plays. He had one other nice carry where he bounced it off to the left and kind of showed his agility, but there was nothing that really stood out to me to say, oh, Mark Walton is really deserving of this spot. In fact, if I had to say the running back who had a little bit more, a better performance and looked a little bit more explosive would be Patrick Laird. He finished the game with 6 carries for 24 yards, and he just kind of had a little bit more oomph to him. I don't know how to describe it. He really looked a little bit quicker out there, I think, than Mark Walton. Now, we move on to some of the other wide receivers. I mean, I know Preston Williams took over the game, but Bryce Butler and Allen Hurns are also fighting for what will be a potential wide receiver 6 spot, I guess, depending on what happens with Jakeem Grant. You know, the team could pull a shocker and cut him, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it kind of seems like it was a battle between Bryce Butler and Allen Hurns. Bryce Butler had himself a pretty nice game with Josh Rosen. He was finding himself getting nice separation on these little out routes. He finished the game 3 catches for 33 yards, and I think really played better than Allen Hurns. And mostly that's because Allen Hurns had a really bad fumble in the red zone, a play that would have capped off a nice little drive for Josh Rosen and really made him have a nice day. Allen Hurns fumbled the ball away. He finished the game 3 catches for 24 yards. Now, another guy who found a little bit of success out there with Josh Rosen was tight end Clive Walford. He finished the game with 2 catches for 34 yards, but they were some nice catches. And frankly, I mean, he's another guy who looks really fast for his size. And I feel like if he's utilized properly, he could be a nice little player in this team. And now we move on to the third string quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And that is Jake Rudock, who finished the game 6 for 8, 65 yards and a touchdown. And frankly, he looked really nice. I mean, I know that he isn't really in the conversation with his obvious quarterback competition between Rosen and Fitzpatrick, but Rudock looked really solid. There was nothing that you could really complain about him, I think, in his game. Looked really solid. He connected with Myles Gaskin for a nice little touchdown reception, and Myles Gaskin also finished the game with 13 yards and a touchdown. And I think Gaskin looked pretty good as well. Like, it's hard to gauge, you know, because he's against the backup of backup of backups, like deep down there in the depth chart, but you know, I think he looked all right too. So I would include him in the competition between Walton and Laird. If I had to rank those guys right now, I guess I would rank them Laird, Walton, and Gaskin are basically tied in my mind. So I would like to see him implemented more, and we'll see how that changes throughout the preseason. Now we move on to the defensive side of the ball, and honestly, this is a little hard to gauge because, again, you don't have Julio Jones out there for the Falcons. You don't have Devontae Freeman. You don't have Calvin Ridley. You don't have Matt Ryan. You are going up against Matt Schaub. And frankly, it was not good how well Matt Schaub did against a lot of starters on this Dolphins first team. Matt Schaub would finish the game 12 of 19, 172 yards. And I will get into where those 172 yards came from, because believe me, they went to the same well pretty often. But first, Xavien Howard, the elite defender, the number one guy on this Dolphins defense, and probably the Dolphins team and just in general, he showed that he is still, I think, very much elite. I mean, there was nothing to say that he lost a step or that his big payday made him content. This guy was, man, just stride for stride on every play, always lurking underneath. There were just plenty of times where there was a little bit of an opportunity to throw it, but you knew that he was tempting the quarterback and he was about to pick it off. He almost had a nice little pick on a two-point conversion attempt. There was nothing that would prove to me that Xavien Howard isn't going to be one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL again this season. So that is great to hear. We continue on to the defensive line. I thought they looked pretty good. Wilkins, I thought, also looked pretty good for the Dolphins. And I think a lot of it was just attributed to Matt Schaub just making a lot of quick reads and finding a really open receiver really quick. But I thought the Dolphins were able to get solid pressure. They were able to really contain this Falcons running game as well. I thought Ito Smith, 4 carries for 7 yards, and that's their number two guy. So I think the first team Dolphins defensive line, I think, was pretty solid from what I saw. We move on to Jerome Baker, who is also one of the better players on this Dolphins defense. I was really scared. I really wanted the Dolphins to take him out because he made a few plays and I was like, okay, I've seen enough. He's good. He's good. And that's just how he played. He was near every play. He made some good tackles. He wouldn't miss anyone. If someone came in contact with him, there was a guarantee that they were going down. So Jerome Baker, I thought, had a good game, even though there was no Kiko Alonso and no Raekwon McMillan in this game. So if you're hearing all these good performances, the defensive line was all right. Jerome Baker was good. Xavien Howard was good. Well, then where did it all go wrong? And let me start with the most glaring one, I guess the elephant in the room. Just, and I hate to be really hard on one player, but man, Nick Needham had a downright bad performance. And I hate to really say it, but it was just, I felt bad for the guy. He was being picked on. And once Matt Schaub realized that, they just kept going to that well over and over and over again. He just had a downright bad day and was getting exposed. And I came into this game, I tweeted that I just want to see someone give me a little bit of confidence in that CB2 spot, because Eric Rowe is not someone that I'm hyped about as having as a CB2. I think he's a huge liability. Well, then in comes Nick Needham, and I was just begging to have Eric Rowe back, and that's not a good thing at all. So Nick Needham just had a very poor performance and really ended up single-handedly costing this Dolphins defense a lot of points on the board. Another guy who had a very surprisingly bad day for this Dolphins defense was Minkah Fitzpatrick, I thought. He missed several very key tackles, and it wasn't necessarily that he missed them, but the effort on those plays looked extremely low, as if he was like playing not to get hurt, or if he was playing like it was a walkthrough. Very uncharacteristic, I thought, of Minkah Fitzpatrick to just kind of make these lazy arm tackle attempts. Just really not what I've come to get used to when I think of Minkah Fitzpatrick, this guy who's an absolute baller, who's a coach's pet. Very uncharacteristic. I don't know if he was, under the weather, or he just didn't want to get hurt, but this was not a Minkah Fitzpatrick that I like to see. So with Nick Needham playing bad, and Minkah Fitzpatrick kind of having an off day, I looked at other defensive backs on this team. Cornell Armstrong had a nice little play in the red zone where he was able to stick with his receiver, but then there was also this big, huge run by one of the Falcons players, and he was just absolutely stuck on his block for like 15 seconds, and that was really painful to watch. So there was just a huge lack of depth, I thought, on this Miami Dolphins defense. And that's kind of what I was alluding to a lot when I was discussing the idea of tanking. It wasn't that the Dolphins were going to actively lose games or just not try their hardest but it was more so that they were going to build a roster with the idea in mind about the future. There's absolutely an opportunity for the Dolphins to improve this lineup for this year, but I don't think they want to improve it this year, and they would rather just wait till the future. And you can tell that when you look at positions like the cornerback 2 position. The fact that Eric Rowe is going to be the lead guy and the rest of the talent there just hasn't been proven, it's a huge concern. And the fact that there are so many injured linebackers and the rest of the guys are also unproven, it just shows that they're really planning something more down the line. So the lack of depth in this game really kind of showed itself, and that's something that's definitely, I think, going to show itself during the regular season. Once guys start going down, you're going to see a drastic drop in performance, unless, you know, the Dolphins decide to shock us and really pick up some more key players during this preseason, but I don't think that's likely. So maybe a CB2 along the way, I guess, depending on how Eric Rowe is able to perform when he returns. Other guys that had some nice performances were Dwayne Hendricks, who had 2 sacks, a nice little game from him. Trey Watson was out there looking nice, and Nate Orchard, the defensive end, who was number 4, interestingly enough, for this game, had a nice little sack as well. So just to kind of, you know, bring this all back together, if I had to say, it was just a very difficult game to gauge. You're going up against a lot of backups, so it was a little bit demoralizing when some of the first team was out there and they weren't able to get much going. It was a little demoralizing seeing how Matt Schaub was able to pick apart this defense, just because the starting opposite boundary corner of Xavien Howard wasn't there. It just completely imploded the defense. That was a little demoralizing to see as well. And then from the offensive standpoint, it was a lot of just rust, I think, or a lot of sorting out the kinks. I think once Josh Rosen was able to find a rhythm, once Preston Williams was able to get involved, it really started to click more. We didn't really even get to see an opportunity for it to click with Fitzpatrick. So I'm really hoping as they start giving these guys more playing time that we really started to see it come together more. I think Josh Rosen has a real shot at taking over this quarterback job still, despite that really bad pick. The only things that I think with certainty that are brought from this game is that Kenyon Drake is still, I think, the more talented back in this backfield, and he is still going to get probably a little bit more touches than Kalen Ballage. It's not going to be a 50-50, and it's probably going to lean in favor of Kenyon Drake still, with Kalen Ballage, I guess, handling more goal line duties. That's just how I expect to see it. I think this game proves that Xavien Howard is still a very talented defensive back, and at the very least, he will be really good, and at the absolute best, he could be one of the top in the league again. I think that's what's proven, and I think it proves that Preston Williams is a guy that needs to be incorporated into this offense at some point. It may be a little too early to say that he deserves Devontae Parker's role, but that is a trajectory that he is on, and we're all very excited about that, and I think he needs to be given the opportunity to show that he is deserving of that role. So I'm not going to just go out straight and say that he's the best receiver on this team, which I know many people are very quick to say right now, but I do think that he needs to be given an opportunity to work with some starters on the opposite side of the field. Now, that is going to just about wrap it up, but I do have one final kind of question that I saw people kind of speculating about on Twitter during this game, and it was about Kenny Stills. And this has nothing to do with his political beliefs. I side with him if it matters to people. I support him in everything he does, and I think what he's doing is very impactful when it comes to social justice. I think he is a very honorable person. But people were bringing up the idea, since Kenny Stills is one of the few players on this offensive team that has a lot of trade value, should the Dolphins now start to look at trading Kenny Stills, getting some draft capital for the future, since it's clear that's what the Dolphins are looking for, and then plugging Preston Williams into a more primary role? Now, I know it's absolutely too early to suggest that Kenny Stills, a guy that has done a very good job over his tenure with the Miami Dolphins, just be traded because of one good preseason game from an undrafted rookie. But if this continues during the preseason at this level to this extent, then I think it could become a legitimate question. If there is some type of turmoil between Stephen Ross and Kenny Stills now, then it could become something that's realistic. So keep an eye out for that. I'm not willing to bet on it just yet, but it's just something that is kind of in my mind. So as always, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Shady Steven. If you like to listen to the podcast, you can follow the podcast as well on Twitter. That is at Via The Source. It's also on Facebook. You can listen to this on Spotify or iTunes. Share with your friends. I appreciate it. Like I said, tomorrow I'm going to be discussing the games from around the NFL. So Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Who else was out there having a good day? Lamar Jackson did pretty good. Just, there's a ton of talent throughout the NFL, and I'm going to be happy to discuss that with you guys tomorrow. As always, guys, feel free to share your comments and stuff with me on Twitter. I'll be very happy to respond, or maybe even get in a little debate, but nothing too crazy. All right, guys, until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.